I'm continuing the series, Fight the Good Fight. Last Sunday, I began the series, Fight the Good Fight, with Thanksgiving. The passage says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And, you know, that's the first step as we are under spiritual attack. Now we need to go into the courts and we need to be ready to fight the spiritual warfare. And today is fight the good fight with truth, right? With truth. The passage is from John chapter 8, verse 32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The reason I chose that passage, but if you look in the context, it does talk about spiritual warfare. It does talk about the devil, how he's the father of lies. And so in that context, the truth will set you free is that the truth will help you be ready and overcome the spiritual battle that you're going through. You know, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's very important to be ready and know how to fight the spiritual warfare. Not fight with one another, you know, many people are good at that. But we need to, as a Christian, know how to fight the spiritual warfare. Because if you're a Christian, you will go through spiritual warfare. You will go through spiritual warfare. You know, many church ignores it. Many church ignores it, but the Bible makes it clear that the devil is real. You know, when you look at the cartoon, the devil is this small guy that pops up on your shoulder. He's wearing red pajama with tail and a pitchfork. You know, but you know, don't look at cartoon. We gotta look at the Bible. What does the Bible say about the devil? The devil deceives Adam and Eve in the garden and brought death into the universe. Brought death into the universe. And you see in the book of Job, the devil accuses, the devil tempt, steal, destroy, and he kills. And in the New Testament, the devil tempts Jesus in the wilderness. And you see the ministry of Jesus in the gospel involved deliverance ministry. Involved his ministry, Jesus' ministry, as he didn't just teach the gospel, he demonstrated the gospel. And one of the demonstrations is that Jesus sets people free. Jesus sets his people free. Now, in the Bible, there's different names for the devil. You know, Prince of Darkness. Prince of Darkness, Bezebel, meaning Lord of the Flies, Antichrist, and Father of Lies. Can I switch? It sounds like I have a cold, you know, and nasally, and it's bothering me, so it must be bothering you. The Antichrist, Father of Lies, and then you look at the three books in the Bible. The book of Ezekiel, book of Isaiah, and the book of Revelation. And it paints this picture of the kingdom of the devil. His name, one of the names that he was given was Lucifer, which means morning star. Lucifer, morning star. And he was a worship angel. He was kind of like a worship angel. He was an archangel, one of the greatest angels created by God. And an archangel. The Bible says Lucifer was the most beautiful, full of wisdom, but there was a problem. Lucifer fell into pride and became jealous of God and wanted God's glory. And he lifted himself up and rebelled against God. He rebelled against God. And God cast the devil down from heaven. And Lucifer, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, took one-third of the angels. You know, the book of Revelation says stars, one-third of the stars. But another way to interpret stars are angels. Okay, angel. One-third of the angels that became demons. Now, we need to have a biblical attitude to spiritual warfare. Say to your neighbor, I want to have a biblical attitude. And the biblical attitude is, you know, we don't want to put focus on demons. Okay? People who teach on the demonic and spiritual warfare and that does deliverance ministry tend to, and this is, I don't think that's right, tend to put a lot of focus on demons, you know, what the demons are doing. But in Catalyst, we don't want to do that. In Catalyst, we put our focus on Jesus, right? On Jesus, the gospel, what he did on the cross for us, the power that we have in Jesus, and that God-given authority as his children, and we focus on truth, right? We focus on truth. Another thing that we don't want to do in the church is don't blame the devil for everything that goes wrong in your life. Don't blame the devil for everything, you know. Blaming demons for every problem, every conflict, every issue, every dysfunction, every sickness, every disease. You know, what I realize about spiritual warfare is a lot of time, as a Christian, what we do is that we leave the door open to demonic spirit. We do, right? And how do we do that? If there's selfishness in our life, if there's bitterness, if there's unforgiveness, you know, the worldliness, we choose lie over truth, and there's disconnection with God, you know what we're doing? Right? We're saying to the devil, come into my heart, come into my family, come into my life, and steal. That's what we're doing, right? But I want us to have a biblical attitude when it comes to spiritual battle and spiritual warfare. And this biblical attitude is, as I studied the Bible, what the Bible says, I could say in two words. Okay? Be ready. Okay? Say to your neighbor, be ready. Okay? 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Okay? It's not talking about, you know, alcohol and stuff like that. It's be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Okay? Okay? Be alert and of sober mind, meaning be ready. Okay? We will go through spiritual battle. You will be spiritually attacked. And as a Christian, we need to be ready. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, it says, put on, you got to be ready. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's scheme. Okay? You don't draw a picture of the armor. You don't teach about the armor. The Bible says, put it on. Be ready. Okay? Be ready for spiritual warfare. Now, what I realize, to God's people in the Old Testament, he promised his people the land of Canaan. That's why it's called the Promised Land. But if you read the Bible, you know, his people had to fight to get every inch of that territory. It wasn't God promised it that it's going to just happen, right? There's a promise. God promised the land of Canaan to his people. And when they went in, they had to fight for it. Right? They had to fight for the land. God's people only possessed only what they fought for, not what God had promised. Okay? You do not get what you are promised. You get what you fight for. Okay? What you fight for. Right? And you know, for example, the prophetic, you know, again, in our church, we believe in the prophetic gift and we practice the prophetic gift. And many people get prophetic words and some of you, you know, many, we all had different prophetic words spoken over us, but it does not come to pass. Okay? It does not come to pass. Why? Because they do not know how to wage warfare from the position of that prophetic word. You know, I receive many prophetic words. And He Jong hasn't recorded, so it's written down here and there, you know, the prophetic words we received 10, 15 years ago. And some of them are coming to pass, praise God. Huh? They're coming to pass. Huh? But each prophetic word that was spoken to me, I had to battle for it. I had to fight for it. Huh? I remember, a few times, as I minister and they would see me minister and they would hear the prophetic and they thought, and they was, just how I teach and everything. And some people who would come up to me and they would ask, Pastor Sam, can you pray for me so that I will have your anointing? There are a few people that ask that. And they think it's just like you push a button or a pill that you eat and, you got this anointing. Somehow you just get this anointing. No, I suffered a lot. I faced a lot of rejection, betrayal, my own personal weakness. I suffered, struggled, and fought. And so not just suffered, I had to fight and overcome. And then I'm able to walk in some of those, the words that I have received. I am not there. I am not there. But I am taking territory little by little by little. Yeah. The work of Jesus on the cross does not remove us from fighting spiritual battle. Right? Does not remove us. Right? As a matter of fact, the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross, when he faced the cross, was the greatest time in the history of the world where there was spiritual battle. Where there was spiritual battle. Right? The work of Jesus on the cross, okay, empowers us to fight. We have the truth. Okay? We have his power. We have his authority. We have the new life that's in Jesus Christ, right? To overcome and to be victorious, to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Okay? You and I are created in God's image, and because the devil hates God, the devil will continuously come after us. Will continuously come after us. When you go home, you need to be ready. Right? You need to be ready. Many of us, it's my family member, it's my spouse, it's my children, it's my cousin, it's my boss. And the Bible says if you are fighting that battle, you're not ready for spiritual warfare. You got to go home. You got to be ready. Okay, some of the lies that will hit you. Right? Some of the spiritual attack. You need to learn how to discern it and be ready for that spiritual attack. All of you have been going through spiritual attack. Some of you are not realizing it. Okay? You already are going through spiritual attack. Many of you are in the midst of spiritual attack. But you're just not realizing it. We're saying, it's my dad, it's my mom, it's my in-law. Right? And so we need to be ready for a spiritual battle when we go home. Amen? And much of the spiritual battle we fight, this is the wrong battle. Let's not fight this kind of spiritual battle. It's because we are holding bitterness in our heart. We're very selfish. When we're selfish, again, what happens? The devil will come into our heart and steal and destroy and put you in bondage, right? There's unforgiveness, there's pride. Those things, okay? That's one level of spiritual battle that we go through because of those things. But I am challenging Catalyst, let's not fight because of that, okay? Yeah? Let's fight because this is something that God's doing in our church. I sense it, I feel it. God's going to pour revival in this church. Right? I'm saying it because I feel it now. Before I go, please, God. Please, revival. Please. Petitioning, asking. But I feel it. I sense it. I could discern it. Right? There's going to be a revival. Right? And when there's a revival, okay, you're going to be spiritually attacked. Guaranteed. You'll be attacked. Right? But this is the good news. Okay, when you are bold for your faith, the devil will attack you. But that's, to me, good. If you're selfish and the devil attacks, that's not good. But if you're being bold for your faith and the devil attack, okay, don't get discouraged. Say, praise God. Huh? Praise the Lord for that. When you don't just go to church, but you want to be the church. All of us came from this, not just dysfunctional family, but dysfunctional church. Huh? We all got hurt by church. And instead of giving up, what you're saying in your heart is, I want to make a difference. I want to change that. Let's be the church. Well, if you have that heart, guess what? The devil will attack you. He's going to attack you. But if that's the reason he attacks you, let's praise God. Let's be joyful. Huh? If it's because you're being bitter and, you know, you're hurting other people, the devil's attacking, that's not good. Huh? When you're using your spiritual gift to serve others, guess what's going to happen? You'll get attacked. Right? But when you're getting attacked for that reason, let's praise God. Right? Let's praise the Lord. When you're generous, you know, with what you have, guess what? The devil will attack you. When you get excited about worship, when you get excited about prayer, when you get excited about life group, when you get excited about meeting together, the devil will attack you. When you want change, when you want to be transformed, when you want to be set free, you want to be healed. Right? Don't get shocked. Huh? You'll get spiritually attacked. You'll get spiritually attacked. Right? But don't get, we'll be ready. We're going to be ready. I'm not going to be discouraged. Right? I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to continue. You know, you can't go into spiritual warfare. Like, you know, physical warfare, say there's a war, physical war going on, and you come to the battle with t-shirt and shorts. Right? What does that say? You're not ready. Right? You're not ready for warfare. But the call to this church is, let's get ready. Let's put on the full armor. Right? So let's be armed. Let's be equipped. You know. And this is what Jesus says about the devil in John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. It says this, there is no truth in him. Okay? When he lies, he speaks his native language. Okay? For he is a liar. That's why, you know, in a spiritual warfare, don't talk to the demons. Don't, you know, they lie. That's all they do. And the devil is a father of lies. That's what Jesus says about the devil. He's a father of lies. The devil is a deceiver who attacks your mind with lies. He lies to us to try to take away God's truth. And one of the ways that, you know, I taught you how to fight spiritual warfare, whatever the devil does, do the opposite. Right? If he deceives you, you fight back with truth. Okay? Don't accept the deception. Okay? Don't entertain the deception. Reject the truth, reject the lies, and accept and hold on to the truth. Okay? And this is the first strategy you see when attacking Eve in the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis. Okay? And I was thinking about this. There's so many different ways that the devil could have attacked Eve, right? There's so many different ways that the devil could have attacked Eve. Maybe, you know, the devil, you know, could have preyed on her insecurity. The devil could have came to Eve and says, you know what? I don't think anybody wants you, right? Yeah, nobody really wants you. Eve, you're kind of all alone. Yeah? Now, Eve, you're not beautiful. You're ugly. The devil could have done that. Right? It's kind of funny, you know, some of the most physically beautiful women, you know what they think? They're ugly. Yeah, they do. And maybe that's what the devil should have said to Eve. You're ugly. Right? Maybe he should have caused conflict between Adam and her. You know, Adam doesn't really love you. You know, he doesn't really want to spend time with you. You know, he just wants to use you. You know, Adam, you know, he wants his rib back. Yeah, I just put it in there. Yeah, he's selfish. He's selfish. So there's so many different ways that the devil could have attacked Eve. So many different ways. But what did the devil do? The devil attacked God's word. The devil attacked God's word. Genesis 3, verse 1. The serpent said to the woman, did God really say? Did God really say? The devil plants a seed of doubt to God's word. Like, you know, and that's what the devil will say to you. Do you really believe the Bible is a book from God? God didn't really mean that. Oh, it's not for you. It's not for us. Not for now. Maybe thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago, but you know what? We're smarter, much smarter now, more evolved. God didn't really mean that for you. Okay? It's interesting. In Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about spiritual warfare, Apostle Paul talks about the armors that we're supposed to put on to fight. And the armor that we put on is not earthly weapon, but spiritual weapon. Okay? Spiritual weapon. And he lists some of the armors, the spiritual weapon that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, belt of truth, shoes prepared with the gospel, readiness of peace. Right? And what you notice about those armors are that it's all defensive armors. There's one weapon mentioned, right, that's an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Right? One that's an offensive weapon. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the this is the scripture interpreting scripture. Right? This is what the Bible says about itself. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thought and attitude of the heart." Right? It's so powerful. Right? No matter where the devil attacks you, it could be in your thought, it could be in your emotion. Right? The Bible, the Word of God, could penetrate even to the dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Okay? Your heart, your thoughts, your attitude, your emotion. The Word of God is alive. Say that to your neighbor. Right? The Word of God is active. Say that to your neighbor. Right? It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the only offensive weapon we have to do battle with the evil one. Right? And this is interesting, you know, as I thought about Jesus, you know, Jesus was born, and for 30 years, you don't really hear about Jesus, okay? And when he turned 30, he began the ministry for 3 years. He did ministry for 3 years. And what did he do during that 30 years? Okay? Some of the information that we have in the Bible, he was a carpenter, okay? You know, he grew up in Nazareth, right? And what do you think he was doing for 30 years? Practicing his spiritual gift, maybe, you know? Maybe he was practicing healing people. You know, but you know what the Bible says? He didn't do any miracles during that time. His first miracle was when he began, you know, turning water into wine at 30. Right? Maybe healing the sick? No, he didn't do that for 30 years. But there's this passage in Scripture where when he was a little boy, he went to the temple, right? And the family, you know, went home. They realized Jesus wasn't there, and they were looking for him, and they found Jesus in the temple talking to the scribes. Discussing the Word of God. And the Bible says the scribes who were supposed to know the Word of God were so impressed with this little boy because he has so much knowledge on the Word of God. So much knowledge on the Word of God. Right? Jesus, the Bible says that, yeah, Jesus is divine. He is God. Okay? No doubt. But the Philippians 2 say Jesus humbled himself and he chose to live as a human being. So when Jesus was born, he could have, if you want, because he's divine, he's God. Jesus, when he was born, guess what? He didn't know how to talk. Okay, when Jesus was born, it's not like he got up as a baby. Mary. Joseph. I see your heart. And this baby sits up, Joseph, Mary, I am your God. No, they would have freaked out. That's not what happened. He had to learn how to talk. Huh? He had to learn how to talk. He's all-knowing. But when he chose to live as a human being, the Bible says he kind of denied that. Okay. So if as a boy, if he knew that much the Word of God, that even the scribes were so impressed with him, you know, the moment that he's able to talk, the moment that he's able to read, I believe he was meditating on the Word. He was studying it. He was memorizing it. Yeah. Why was that important? Because when Jesus started the ministry, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, to go through spiritual battle. Okay? And he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was physically weak from fasting. And if you read what Jesus did, right? Jesus defeated the devil. How? He drew his sword. He said, "Devil, it is written." Okay? Jesus knew the Word of God. He loved the Word of God. The devil could not deceive him. Because he knew the Word of God. Not only was he not able to deceive him, Jesus defeated the devil in the wilderness with the word of God. It is written. God's going to bring revival, praise the Lord. And he's already doing it. Right? Because of that, you will go through spiritual warfare, spiritual battle. Okay? But the problem, you know, here's the problem. Some of you don't know where your sword is. Okay? It's kind of gathering dust on a shelf somewhere. Right? Many of you, you know exactly where your Snapchat app is on your phone. You don't, you just turn out, you know, and you know how to use it. You're so, they're so fast. They're so proficient with that Snapchat app. Huh? You know exactly where the Instagram is, and you know how to use it. Right? You know how to use that Instagram app. Your email, you know how to, you know, how to forward it, how to, you know, cut and paste, you know how to do all this, how to share it, you know, how to do all this stuff with your email. But maybe some of you have difficulty finding the Bible app. And when you do open it, you know, what do I do? How do I use this? You know? Here's the problem. You don't know how to handle the sword. Okay? Some of you, you know, only thing you know how to do is ha with the sword. Ha. Right? Maybe it was effective in the beginning, but the demons now know how to get a, you know, go around that move. Okay? You know, like you watch those, you know. I don't know, martial arts movie, you know, this little boy, not afraid of the sword, you know. And eventually he's able to defeat all the his enemies with that one sword. What do I mean? You gotta meditate on the word. You gotta memorize it. You gotta study it. You got to put your faith in it. You got to practice and live it. Huh? You got to learn how to use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Huh? Matthew 7, verse 24 to 25 says, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down. The stream rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house." That sounds like a spiritual warfare, beating against the house. Right? But because the foundation of that house was on the word of God, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. Huh? How are you going to go through the storm of life? How are you going to fight the good fight? Huh? You must hold on to unchanging truth. Your life must be on the foundation of Scripture. Okay, you know the you know, Hezok, you're an architect, Hezok, right? Okay. I'm not gonna embarrass you in any way, but you know, tell me if it's right. The foundation determines how big the structure is going to be on top of that foundation. An expert, right? That's true. Right? If the foundation is weak, you can't build much on it. Right? If the foundation is strong, right, and this is what God wants to do in your life, He doesn't want to build a studio or one-bedroom house. He wants to build a skyscraper that goes to the heavens. Right? That goes to the heavens. Right? And the Bible says, foundation is the Word of God. Right? Just be honest with yourself. What is that foundation like for you? How strong is it? God wants to build a skyscraper on that foundation that goes to the heavens. Right? What can you build on that foundation? Is there a little shack, a studio, a one-bedroom home? Let's make that foundation strong. God wants to give us a revival. God wants to give us, because when revival comes, you know what happens? Everybody is thinking about how many people are here, the numbers, and you know how good the sound equipment is, how much money is coming in, how popular we are as a church, how to advertise so that more people will find out about this church. And then you start caring about people's applause. You know, you don't use the gift to serve, but you use the gift so they get noticed. Foundation is very weak. And that's why revival stops. It stops. You hear about a revival that's going on in this city, and it's very powerful, and it lasts like 2 months. Or it will last 6 months. It stops. So we need to be ready. Right? We need to be ready. Those who hear and put the word of God into practice is a person who's going to build his or her life on truth. And that foundation will be strong. And when it's strong, guess what's going to happen? That revival will be able to hold it. And it's going to continue from Jerusalem, from Catalyst, to Judea, and to your family, and to our relationship with each other, to Samaria, Hackensack, and to the ends of the earth. Okay? That revival will continue to the ends of the earth. Amen? God. You know, as we go into worship, let's be ready. You know, let's be ready. Just discern it. Some of the spiritual attack, you've been already going through it, but you just didn't realize it was spiritual battle they've been going through. And Father, give us discernment, Lord. And you need to know what truth that you need to hold on to when you're being spiritually attacked. The devil will come to deceive you, but you need to be ready and fight back with truth. I don't want to shame you in any way, but you don't know some of the truth. Maybe, and it's okay right now. But what you need to do is go home. You know, if you're going to like conflict, different, you know, find that truth. Call me or call one of the your life group leader or Google it, you know, Bible when in temptation or when in depression, and see what comes up. And you meditate on that word. You study it, and you keep it in your heart. And also, let's close the door to spiritual warfare because, you know, we're being bitter and we're being unloving. You know, we're seeking attention. You know. We're being unforgiven. Let's close that door. let's fight the spiritual warfare because we want to see the kingdom of God expand. And that fight, you know what that fight is? We're taking the territory of the enemy. Instead of playing the defense, we're going on the offensive.